Thank you very much, Brother Farmer. It's a wonderful privilege to be with you this morning. All of you good people that got up and came to service today, and I want to thank you for being here. We're going to have a great time. As I look out here and see the people, you know, I know that the building's not always filled, and I'm always reminded of Dr. Cho. Several years ago, I heard him speak, and he said, when he first started, he did not always have a crowd that was completely filled in the auditorium. Matter of fact, there were many more empty seats than there were full seats. And he used to preach with his eyes closed. And his wife said, honey, why don't you open your eyes? He said, when I open my eyes, I can see all those empty seats. But when I close them, I can see the place fill. And you know, we need a lot of preachers that'll preach with their eyes closed, believing by faith that place will be filled. I spoke one time at Cobo Hall in Detroit, Michigan, a place that seats probably 16, 17, 18,000 people. And I was to speak at the keynote meeting. And then that night when Mahalia Jackson was singing, and that morning service in that great auditorium, there were about 60 people. And it reminded me of a story I heard one time of a preacher that was always bothered by empty seats. And one night he had a dream. And he dreamed that that place was filled with angels, every empty seat. And from that moment forward, when he preached to a full house of angels in his mind. I told that audience that that was the biggest crowd of angels that I'd ever spoken to in my life. Amen. So we got a lot of angels here this morning, but it's a good group of people. A lot of places give in to the tide and say, well, we won't have service because, well, people won't come anyway. But I don't believe you ought to let the tide run you. That's the reason why churches don't have Wednesday night services and they've closed Sunday night. It wasn't the pastor that closed. It was people that didn't come. We got a good group here today, and I'm just tickled to death, and I'm going to have a good time preaching to you and this tremendous crowd of angels today. And all God's people that are glad you're here, say a good amen. Some of you asked me, and I'm not going to spend long, but I have some things out there that I brought a few with me. You might help you. I have a tape ministry here that I think will be a blessing to you. Here's the church growth packet that I tell everything that we have done in our church to build our present ministry. I have a tape here, for instance, entitled, Now That We're Saved, What Now? We give this to every new convert in our church. They take it home, they play it, and then we come by and pick it up. You're welcome to use this tape and reproduce it if you want to. Here's one that says how to grow from 76 to 16,000 in 4 years, and this will tell you the growth pattern. Here's one on a soul-winning bus ministry that'll tell you how to work that. Here's one on big days and record-breaking promotion days that God has used in our church. Here's one on soul-winning and evangelism and our evangelistic department that reaches out. And here's one on an aggressive Sunday school that'll take you to through the Sunday school program. For 1 year, I taught on the family. And here is one of four packs that I brought with me, four tapes in each one, 54 lessons on the family that changed our church. The devil's after our families, and I think this will help you. If you'd like to take one of these and play it, and if you want more, I would suggest that you spend one whole year. We have better crowds on Wednesday night than we had sometime on Sunday night. As people, this thing grew and grew and grew. Then I have two separate tape packs back there of sermons that we preach that might be a blessing to you. And then I have one of illustrated sermons. And tonight we'll be preaching one of those illustrated sermons. I also have some books. And Brother Keith Buchanan, who's here helping us with illustrated sermons, has two books out now on illustrated messages. It tells you exactly how to do it. It tells you how to build things like a singing Christmas tree or a living cross or the big days. It tells you exactly every little nut to put in place and in the program and the music. It's the only two books of their kind, and they're just out. And for you that would like to do things a little different, I think you'll find them interesting. Now I'd like to encourage every single one of you here today, this afternoon, to bring someone that needs Christ. Wouldn't it be great if you could be responsible for seeing many people won to the kingdom of God tonight? And you can and you will if you will bring the unsaved. Well, for the next 35 minutes that I have, and I'm going to let you out at noon today, and everybody that believes that, say a good amen. Amen. A lot of doubters here today. I told you last night the Bible said they wouldn't believe sound doctrine in the last days. You're just an example. And I plan to preach a different message, but when I awakened this morning about 7:30 after being up till 2 last night working on this illustrated message, I hope you bring the unsaved out. A lot of work, a lot of hours have gone into it, and I told Keith, we're insane trying anything of this magnitude with one practice, trying to get all the cues and the technical, because it's quite a job, believe it or not, to get all this together in one evening. And as we're working on it, we'll be working on it this afternoon likewise, I was thinking, what should I speak on this morning? I had another message, but Then I begin to think of something God laid on my heart, something that is untried, but something that God put in my mind the other day that I want to preach to you today. And I want you to open your heart for the next few minutes, and I pray that it'll meet the mark for what you was intended. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray that your special anointing shall be upon your servant this morning. I just kind of want to talk to these believers. They're all believers. And I want to bless their heart this day. I want to talk about the man who's dearest to me, Lord, the one that's been better to this preacher than he ever deserved. And I'd sure like to brag on him this morning because he's so wonderful and he's so great. And Lord, I feel so insufficient to brag on the name of Jesus, but I'm going to attempt on it. And I pray that you'll give me the favor, the anointing, and the boldness that I need this morning. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. I don't believe that you'll understand the sermon that I'm preaching this morning unless you listen very carefully. I also believe that the sermon that I'm going to preach will be very laborious for you if you do not love the one for which this sermon is dedicated to. I don't believe that I should be humorous this morning because I think it'd be sacrilegious to be humorous when I'm speaking upon such a message. For I would like to speak to you upon the subject entitled, A Name That Is Above All Other Names. For the Bible said that God has given to men, has given unto him a name above all other names. The Bible said that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of the Father. This morning I'm going to wade into the glorious name of Jesus. If I were talking about some famous personality, you'd all be interested. For not too long ago, I had the privilege when he came to our city of introducing the President of the United States of America and sitting at the table at that great banquet. And I remember as they gave me a list of things that Ronald Reagan was. I told of how he had been a sportscaster. He had been an athlete. I spoke of how he had been an author and he had also been an actor. He'd been the leader of a union and on and on and on and on. Sitting in that audience was a young lady from our church whose father was drowning when he was only a boy, and Ronald Reagan jumped in and saved his life. And as I told that story that was not in the paper that they'd given me, tears streamed down his cheeks, and the people were all touched that day as I bragged on the name of Ronald Reagan. But this morning I want to talk to you about the creator of Ronald Reagan. I want to talk to you about the God of Ronald Reagan. I want to speak to the one whose name, the Bible says, was above every other name. And when the Greeks came to the apostle, they simply said this, Sirs, we would see Jesus. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 9, when our Lord was on Mount Tabor, the Mount of Transfiguration, when Peter, James, and John were fellowshipping with him, and it says that they looked up and they saw no man save Jesus only. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 20, when Jesus returned from the synagogue after being baptized, the Bible said that when he stood up to speak, that every eye in the synagogue was on Jesus. The Bible says that there is name that is given unto him, a name that is above every name, a name that is above the kings of this earth, a name that is above the name of Darius the great king, a name that is above Cyrus the great, a name that is above Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, Napoleon of France, the Caesars and the Neros of Rome. A name that is above Alexander the Great of Greece and the Pharaohs of Egypt. A name that is above the Henrys, the Charlestons, the James, the Elizabeths, the Victorians. A name that the Bible says that is above all other names. God said he has given the name of Jesus that is above all other names, a name that is above the artist of this earth, a name that is above the name of Michelangelo or Leonardo da Vinci, a name that is above Mozart, Bach, Beethoven, or Rembrandt, a name that is above the Shakespeares, the Brownings, and the Handels. God has given us a name that is above all other names. A name that is above the heroes of this earth. A name that is above Louis Pasteur. A name that is above the Jonas Salts, the Wright brothers, the Thomas Edisons, the Charles Lindberghs, the Joan of Arcs. A name that is above the Washingtons, the Lincolns, the MacArthurs, the Churchill. For God has given him a name that is above all other names. A name that is above the giants in the kingdom of God. A name that is greater than Billy Graham, that is greater than Billy Sunday, D.L. Moody, John and Charles Wesley. A name that is above Charles Finney, Jonathan Edwards, David Brenner, George Mueller, Sam Jones, Martin Luther, John Calvin. A name that is greater than the martyrs of old, the Savonarolas, the Whitfields, and the Spurgeons. A name that is greater than Paul and John, Elijah and Abraham. A name that is greater than Moses and Peter. A name that is above every name. A name that is above the angels. A name that is above Gabriel the messenger. A name that is greater than Michael the warrior. A name that is greater than the seven angels of Revelations that will sound the seven trumpets. A name that is greater than the 12 angels that'll stand at the gates of the holy city. A name that is greater than the angel that appeared to Isaac or Jeremiah or Elijah or Jacob or Moses or Samuel or David or Abraham. There is a name that is above every name. A name that is so sweet that it causes songwriter to write, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And he's just the same as that lovely name. And that's the reason why I love him so. For Jesus is the sweetest name I know. It caused another one to write, the name of Jesus is so sweet. I love its music to repeat. It makes like joy and it's complete. The name of Jesus. It caused another songwriter to write, there is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its words. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name I know. It caused another to write, Jesus, oh, how sweet the name. Jesus, every name the same. Jesus, let all saints proclaim his worthy praise forever. Another wrote, sweetest note of Sarah's song. Sweetest name on mortal tongue. Sweetest carol ever sung. Jesus, precious Jesus. Another wrote, precious name. Oh, how sweet. Oh, for hope and joy of heaven. Our Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sweetest name I know. Fills my ever longing. Keeps me singing as I go. I don't know about you, but when I say the name of Jesus, I feel strong. When I say the name of Jesus, I feel powerful. When I say the name of Jesus, I feel comfort. When I say the name of Jesus, I feel about 10 feet tall. J-E-S-U-S, the powerful name of Jesus. Say a good amen today. The first name that was given to him was brought by the name Angel Gabriel. He was brought to the humble home of Mary in Luke chapter 1 and verse 31. And he said, and they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The second name that was given to him was in Luke 1:32, for he shall be great and shall call the Son of the Highest. The third name that was given to Jesus was in verse 35. He shall be called the Son of God. The fourth name given to Jesus in the New Testament was Matthew chapter 23, Emmanuel. The fifth name that was given to him was Savior. The sixth name given to Jesus was Christ. The seventh word that was given to him was Lord. Seven names were given by Jesus, by God himself, before he was given one earthly name by his mother and his father. You see, seven is a very special number to the Lord. No wonder there are seven names given to Jesus by God himself. The first name that was ever given to Jesus was the seventh word in the New Testament. You see, seven is a very special number. Did you know not only in the beginning of the Bible, but at the end of the Bible, in Revelation chapter 23 and verse 13, there are seven names that were given to Jesus. Just as his earthly ministry started with seven names, even in the New Testament ends with seven names. He is called the Alpha and the Omega. He is called the beginning and the end. He is called the first and he's called the last. Did you know that exactly 700 times in the New Testament the name of Jesus is mentioned? Not 701, not 699, but exactly 700 times. Seven is the type of perfect, and Jesus is precious, and Jesus is perfect, and Jesus is a special name. Jesus is the first name given in the New Testament. Jesus is the last name given in the New Testament. The Bible said that we are baptized, glory to God, in the name of Jesus. The Bible said that we're to pray in the name of Jesus. The Bible said we're to heal in the name of Jesus. The Bible said that we're to cast out devils in the name of Jesus. Philippians chapter 2 said, every knee shall bow in the name of Jesus. We're to cast out devils in the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 says, we'll be saved in the name of Jesus. Why don't you say a good amen here today? Luke chapter 24 and verse 47, remission for our sins come in the name of Jesus. And as I walk through the garden, I see Jesus, for he's the lily of the valley, the rose of Sharon, and the true vine. As I look in the heavens, glory to God, I see Jesus, for he is the bright in the morning star. In Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2, he's called the Son of Righteousness. In John chapter 8 and verse 12, he's called the light of the world. When I go to the table, I see Jesus, for he is called the bread of life. When I look at the old ocean, I see Jesus, for he is called the living water. When I go to the jungle, I see Jesus, for the Bible said he's the lion of the tribe of Judea. When I watch a flock and a beautiful shepherd protecting his sheep, I see Jesus, for he is the good shepherd. He is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. When I go into the classroom, I see Jesus, for he is the perfect teacher. And he said, I am the way and the truth and the life. When I go to the clinic, I see Jesus. He is the great physician. When I go to the quarry, I see Jesus. He's the stone cut out, not by the hand of man. When I go to the road, I see Jesus, for he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When I go to the throne, I see Jesus, for he said, I'm the promised peace of peace. I'm the King of kings, the Holy of holies. When I go to the drugstore, I see Jesus, for he is the balm in Gilead. He is the oil of gladness. When I go to the family, I see Jesus, for he's the elder brother. He's the Son of God. He's the everlasting faith. When I go to the office, I see Jesus, for he is the counselor. When I walk in the courtroom, I see Jesus, for he is my advocate. He is the attorney. He is the daysman. He's the go-between. He is the intercessor. When I go to the farm, I see Jesus, for he is the husbandman. He is the seed. When I go to the battlefield, I see Jesus, for he's the captain of my salvation. In the library, I see Jesus, for he's the author and the finished. Glory to God. You ought to be jumping up and running by now. When I look in the book, I see Jesus, because he's the word of God. In the pasture, I see Jesus, for he is the corn of wheat that abideth alone unless it falls to the ground. In the construction, I see Jesus, for he is the temple not built by hands. Ladies and gentlemen, I would see Jesus. Will you say a good amen? As I talk to our congregation, I say, if this bus ministry takes away from Jesus, blow the bus ministry up. I say that if the program of our church takes away from Jesus, let it come to a halt. If the pastor takes away from people seeing Jesus, let his heart stop beating. I pray, God, take the breath from this preacher. If anything in this camp meeting takes away from Jesus, let it be destroyed. He will not be a duplex God. He must be worship and worship alone. Say a good amen. By the way, there's an old philosophy running around that Christians can be possessed by both him and Satan. If Satan can cross the bloodline, then he's more powerful than God. The Bible said he will not dwell in two temples. He may oppress you and he may depress you. But let me tell you, it is unscripture. It is unholy. It's blasphemy to say that the devil can possess a child of God. Those he sets free are free indeed. Say a good amen here today. Give the Lord a good clap offering. Hallelujah. hang on to your hat. There's so many names for Jesus. The Bible said that he's called the young child, the holy child, the Nazarene. Jesus is called Lord, Lord Jesus, Lord from heaven, Lord from glory, Lord of righteous. He's called our Lord and Savior. He's called Jesus Christ, Jesus Lord Christ, Lord Jesus Christ. He's Christ called the Lord of the Sabbath. He is called our Lord, our Savior, Emmanuel, teacher, reborn master. He's called governor, lawgiver, forerunner. He's called redeemer, Messiah, Shiloh, deliverer, intercessor, mediator, prince of peace, banner. He's called captain. He's called the desire of the nation. He's called judge. He's called righteous judge. He's called the author and the finisher of our faith. He's called our peace, our ransom, our Passover, our high priest. He's called the king of Salem, the king of righteous, the king of kings, the king of lords. He's called the just one. He's called the just holy one. He's called the just faithful witness. He's called the commander, the line of the tribe of Judas. He's called the first begotten of the dead. He's called the elect of God, the second Adam, the king of the Jews. He is called the king of Zion. Oh, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, all I need, I have found in man of the way, the truth, and the life. He's called the tree of life, the light of life, the prince of life. He's called the day star. He's called the morning star. He's called the tribe star, the living star, the true foundation. He's called the elected stone. He's called the rock. He's called the rock of ages. He's called the spiritual rock. He's called the I am. He's called the resurrection. He's called the sun. By the way, the other day I was preaching, and I was having a hard time. You preachers know what I'm talking about. And I was trying to quote the scripture, the Son of Man is coming to seek and to save that which was lost. And I got to that part where I said, the Son of Man, and I went blank. And so I thought, I'll start over and they'll never know what I'm doing. I thought I'd emphasize. So I said, the Son. And then I thought, well, I'll just fake it again and said, the Son. And so I couldn't still think what the rest of it said. And so I said, the Son. And people thought I was all excited. And I said, the Son, about 6 times. And when I went home that day, my little boy said, Dad, you really got stuck on the Son today, didn't you? Hallelujah. And by the way, that's where we ought to get stuck. We ought to get stuck on Jesus. Say a good amen. Now and then every church ought to push the reset button and go back to where it all began. It began with the Son. He's called the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Son of Abraham, the Son of David, the Son of Righteous, the Son of the Highest. He is called God's dear Son, God's beloved Son, and God's only begotten Son. He's called Almighty. He's called the Son of Sorrow. He's called the Friend of Sinners. He's called the Gift of God, the Unspeakable Gift, the Power of God, the Wisdom of God, the Gift of God, the Image of God. He's called the First, and He's called the Last. He's called the Alpha, the Omega, the Beginning and the End. He's called the Ancient of Days and the Ancient of Time. He's called God be with us. He's called our elder brother, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's called the firstborn, the master, the good master, the master, your master, our Lord and master. He's called the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He's called the bridegroom. He's called wonderful, counselor, mighty, everlasting father, prince of peace, lily of the valley, the altogether lovely, the fairest of 10,000, the bright and morning star, the vine, the door, the altogether lovely one, the rose of Sharon, the pearl of great price. And yet the Bible says there is a name that is above all other names. The name is called Jesus. And at that name, every knee shall bow and confess that He's the Lord God. Matthew walked with Him, and he called Him a king. And yet Mark walked with Him, and he called Him a servant. And Luke walked with Him, and he saw Him as king and servant. But he called Him the Son of God. And John walked with Him, and he also called Him the Son of God. And Luke, who walked with Him, called Him the Son of God. And John the Baptist saw Him in the wilderness and shouted at the top of his voice, Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. At the name of Jesus, the lame walk, the dumb talk, the blind see. The storm-tossed seas become as quiet as a synagogue. And the quiet synagogue became as a storm-tossed sea. A few loaves and few fishes become a haystack to feed the multitude. For His name is like lightning and thunder. His name is energy. His name is power. His name in the Word was called Him. And by His name the world was created. For in the name of Jesus, there is healing. I have seen them come by the hundreds. I saw her when she was only about 6 years old, dying and eating with cancer. I was only a lad of about 17, and I laid my hands upon her as a young evangelist and prayed that God would heal her. And today she stands in my church, a beautiful young lady with a family, healed by the name of Jesus. He rolled down the aisle in a wheelchair in our church one morning. They said he would never walk again. He gave his heart to Jesus Christ that day. They brought him to church in the wheelchair that night, and they handed him down to me in the baptistry out of his wheelchair because he was crippled. We immersed him in water in the name of Jesus. He stood to his feet and walked out, never to ride in a wheelchair again. The power of the name of Jesus. The Bible says at the name of Jesus that demons will cry out. The Bible said that in the name of Jesus that you could deliver demons. It was in India one day. I was preaching to a group of heathen that had never heard the gospel of Christ. I was preaching about the power of the gospel that could change your life. I was getting near the invitation time when a man stood to his feet naked except for a little loincloth around his body. His hair was frizzy and stuck out with his long beard. He walked up and almost ran to the platform. As he came up the step, the missionary whispered, "He's an evil, demon-possessed man. He's called a holy man by those around. Pastor, he's coming after you. What are we going to do?" And he came towards me. And suddenly I stopped that man, not understanding a word of English. I said, "In the name of Jesus, be set free." And that man stopped in his tracks. His eyes became like a lamb. He knelt upon his knees in his tracks. He accepted Jesus Christ as Lord. Pandemonium broke loose in that audience as nations will come to him at the name of Jesus. The Bible said that we could even be stung by serpents if we're working for Jesus, and at his name they will not hurt us. His name was Missionary Gunder Olson, one of our great Assembly of God ministers. I held him several meetings in the Philippines. I remember he telling me as he first went to the Philippines that he didn't know a thing in the world about winning souls. And one day he was out witnessing for Christ. A little boy ran in front of him in his Volkswagen bus. Unable to stop, he ran over him with both wheels. He turned and ran back. They tell you in the Philippines that if you hit a child, never stop the car, because the relatives will come out and they will kill you. Go right immediately to the police department and turn him in. But something wouldn't let him stop. He jumped out and he ran back to the boy. The breath was gone from his body. He was dead. And suddenly his uncle ran out with the relatives around about, angered, infuriated. He pulled out his bolo, his uncle, raised it back to kill the missionary. And the missionary bowed his head and laid his hand upon that boy. And he said, "As a witness to the gospel and the power of the gospel, heal this little lad." The boy began to breathe. They wiped the blood from his mouth. He stood to his feet, walked out without an injury and a broken bone. The man just couldn't get the bolo down. I'll tell you, there is power in the name of Jesus. This same missionary was cleaning out the backyard. He'd only been there a few months. And suddenly a poisonous viper jumped upon his leg and it bit him. These vipers were known to kill a water buffalo in a few seconds after they bite a man. The natives gathered around. They said, "He'll die any minute. It's the most poisonous viper in Asia." And suddenly it was like fire shot through his body. He burned. He knew he was going to die. His wife said, "Run for the doctor." He said, "We don't have time." But he said, "Honey, the Bible said that they could handle any deadly thing and it wouldn't hurt them." And they knelt right in their front room and prayed, "Oh God, as a witness to these unbelievers that are crowding around to watch me die, God, I pray that you won't let this poison hurt me." And as he knelt upon his knees, he said he felt like a gallon of cold water was poured upon his head. The burning left. He stood to his feet without one ill effect. Oh, the power of the name of Jesus. Will you say a good amen? The Bible said we could drink any deadly thing. I like to hear Arthur Blessed, one of my dearest friends. You know the story of Arthur Blessed. Pushed the old cross over 17,000 miles around the world. Arthur Blessed tells me that he went through the Amazon jungle carrying the old cross. You know the story, how he witnesses when he gets to villages and thousands turn out to hear him. As God has given you a cross to carry around the world and preach the gospel, he's one of the greatest soul winners and has compassion as few men I know. He told me of how when he went through the jungles, he would fall in holes and there was no one around him. Fall in gullies. And yet he was not stung once when he could hardly see in front of him as he went through the Amazon jungle all by himself with no party. He tells me of how he drank out of ponds full of wiggletails without boiling the water and has never been sick one day in his life from dysentery. Didn't the Bible say that you could even drink any deadly thing and it wouldn't hurt you? I went to Davenport, Iowa several years ago and had only been there a few months. Never pastored a church. A scared young evangelist. One day I heard my little boy scream, rather my wife did. She ran into the garage to find our three-year-old boy who's 13 now and is with us. Three or four, I guess he's about 4 years of age. She found him laying on the floor of the garage, holding his stomach, screaming, "My stomach, Mama, it's burning. What did you do? I drank this can of stuff." And she picked up the can of antifreeze. She didn't exactly know what it meant, but he said, my stomach, Mother, help me. On the outside, it said, fatal if drank. Now, my wife is from Sweden. She does not understand all the words, especially at that time. She's still a citizen of Sweden. She read it and didn't exactly know what it meant. It said fatal. She thought maybe that meant kill him, but she wasn't sure if swallowed. So she picked up her little boy and said, "Now, Lord, you know I'm a new convert. I've only been saved a few years before my husband's meetings. But I've heard him say that you could drink any deadly thing if you're working for you, Lord, and it won't hurt you. And God, we love this boy. And I pray that nothing will hurt him. Now, Lord, I'm going to put him in your hands, and I believe what you said. In Jesus' name, amen." And she didn't have any more sense than to put him down and say, "Go and have a good time. Everything's okay." And everything was okay till I got home. God's men of power and faith. How many know what I'm talking about? I rolled in the driveway, and my little boy came out and said, "Dad, guess what?" And I said, "What?" He said, "I drink antifreeze." And I jumped about that high and said, "What?" I ran in and called the doctor as fast as I could. God's men of power and faith. Amen. The doctor said, "Meet me at the hospital as fast as you can." I rushed to the hospital, ran in the door. They took my little boy and they pumped his stomach. They put charcoal down his stomach. But they said, "It's been 8 hours now. By now it's too late. It's in his bloodstream. It'll ruin his kidneys. It'll hurt his heart. It may kill him. And if it doesn't kill him, it'll leave an effect upon him the rest of his life." They kept him there for 7 days taking blood tests. But you know what? They couldn't even find one trace of antifreeze in old Luke. And by the way, one thing about old Luke, he never freezes up in the wintertime. Hallelujah. How many of you love God? Raise your hand real high. How many of you glad you got the name of Jesus? I've been saying it all day, and you're just pleading and begging to say it. Say it with me. Jesus. Oh, can't you do it better than that? Jesus. Shout it out. Jesus. Make the rafters ring. Jesus. Doesn't it feel good to say that name? Praise God. Brother, if you need healing, it's there in the name of Jesus. Let's just raise our hands and thank God. Hallelujah for the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Karabandalolobuku. God, heal bodies right now in the name of Jesus as they sit here. Hallelujah. Oh God, give victory and deliverance in the name of Jesus. Meet the needs of lives in the name of Jesus. Kabalolobushi karatataratara.
Glory to God. Praise the Lord.
When I was 4 years of age, I gave my life to Jesus. When I was 13 years of age, about 2 o'clock in the morning, an old-fashioned prayer meeting in a revival. Oh, we don't pray that long anymore, but that was years ago. I said, "Lord, I surrender my life to preach the gospel." When I was 16 years of age, I started out preaching the gospel. A 120-pound boy with acne so bad you could hardly stand it. If I turned sideways, you could hardly see me. I looked like a zipper if I'd stuck out my tongue. I weighed no more than 120 pounds, wringing wet and full of bananas. But I knelt and said, God, if you can use me, Lord, if you can take any ability that I have and use it, I give it for the glory of your son, Jesus. Yes. And I want to tell you that God blessed me. That first little revival, guess where it was held? Seminole, Texas. We went 3 weeks and had 50 people find Christ. And about 25 that were filled with the Holy Spirit.
Praise.
The next revival opened up and God blessed it. And he gave me a tent. God began to bless those tent meetings. And then God called me to go around the world and preach. And I sold the tent to go. And I saw thousands of people bow at the name of Jesus. I've watched him build churches in my life. I've watched him take care of my family. He's blessed this man with very little ability. But I want to tell you the key. One day I said, Lord, I'll try to be a servant. I didn't know what I was saying then. But I found out that once you serve others, you never want to be served again. Once you've waited on the banquet table, you never want to be waited on again. I used to seek the gifts. And now today, I just want to give what God has given me. I used to always want to be blessed, and I prayed like this. And now I just want to be a blessing. I told God several years ago that in this world where everybody's wanting to be blessed and everybody wanting to be prospered and the prosperity's been preached about, he didn't have to give me anything else if he didn't want to. That I'd just get all my joy in giving to him. And once you fall in love with Jesus, you quit praying, give me, give me, give me. And you just get blessed in giving to him. But I want to tell you something else I found out about a servant. When you become a servant to the master, he's got some obligations too. And it's his obligation to feed you. What are you going to do, Pastor Barnett, when you run out of gas at your city? What are you going to do with all those buses? We're going to keep on running them. Because I'm going to say, hey, God, did you write the Bible? And he's going to say, I sure did. Did you say your seed wouldn't bake bread? God said, yes. Well, God, you're going to have to feed me now. And you're going to have to fill those old buses up. You'll say, Pastor Barnett, that's sacrilegious to pray that way. Then you go ahead and be religious. And let me be sacrilegious and I'll eat while you starve. Hallelujah. Because God is obligated to his servant.
Praise.
Did you know that God's obligated to his servant to protect him? And you know what I know? That no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. Glory to God. And you know it's God's job to protect me and clothe me and feed me, because he said he'd supply all of my needs if I'd seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. How many like to eat? Raise your hand real high. Famine is on the way. And let me tell you, you better nestle up in the will of God. If you want to eat. Yeah. One day I said, Lord, I give you my heart. And brother, that's the best deal that this little preacher ever made. Was I gave my heart to him. That's really all he wants from you. He wants you to give him your heart. Every head bowed. Shapalalobukurandalahai. I tell you, my friends, I've fallen in Jesus all over again this morning as I was studying and praying. Oh, there are many other messages that I would have enjoyed preaching this morning. But there's not one that need to be preached more than that wonderful name of Jesus. And I'm going to ask you to walk out of this building today and take that name with you and speak it, utter it, whisper it, speak it, shout it, live it. How many in this building will say, preacher, I got a need from God this morning. I want you to stand to your feet in the name of Jesus right now. Everyone in this building that's got a need financially, physically, spiritually, or you've got needs maybe in your life or in your church and you need victory today. I tell you, God's here to give us victory. God impressed something upon me this morning as I was praying for me to do. I want every one of you that have a need to stand to your feet right now. Come on, leap to your feet. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Boy, looky here. We're a needy people. I said we're a needy people. Hallelujah. How many got a Bible? If you do, raise it up real high. Hold it up high. You got a Bible. Got a Bible. Come on, hold it up. I want to see it. Hold it up. A lot of you left them home today. All right. This is what God impressed me to do. I want you that had the Bibles, even though you stood that you had a need. The Bible says that we're all ministers. And it said that I would that you prophesy. And in just a minute, I'm going to pray. And as I come to the name of Jesus and I say it, I'm going to ask you that have a Bible to just turn around and walk down the aisle, because there are very few of you that do today. And I want you to have people to just lay their hands upon the Bible when you go by, not long, but just put your hand. And I want you to say, as they put their hand on the Bible, in the name of Jesus. Because there's no power in this Bible as far as the material is concerned. They're just some leaves bound together by some stitching and some leather. But I want to tell you, there is power in the promises in the name of Jesus that is in that word. I've done this before, and I've seen people's loved ones come to Jesus when they said, in the name of Jesus, bring my son to God. Bring my husband to God. Lord, meet that need in my body. I believe right now as we pray this prayer, you, dear sister, you that have those Bibles, just take authority. Walk around those and say, put your hand on the Bible. And I want you to believe the moment they touch that Bible as a point of contact, like the little lady that touched the hem of his garment, I want you to believe that something maybe will shoot through your body like fire. Or maybe you'll get a cold feeling or a chill. Or maybe you won't feel nothing. But brother, if you will believe it, listen closely to me. Sometimes we preach that we're the ones that activate the gifts. That's not true. If I can activate the gift, I better get down to the hospital and heal everybody in the hospital. The Bible said that the gifts of the Spirit are operated and activated by the Holy Spirit. And he operates severally as he wills. I believe the Holy Spirit is here today. Do you believe that he's here today? And I believe that the gifts are activated right now, and they're activated by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's begin to praise him right now. Hallelujah. Raise your hands up right now. And I want you that have a Bible right now, come on, to turn around and share that Bible with those beside you. Just tap them on the shoulder. Lay your hand on the Bible right now. Come on, let's have a prayer meeting. Begin to lay your hands on the Word of God. Brother, take your Bible. Go down the aisle. Turn to the one beside you. Put your hand on the Word of God. Hallelujah. Be saved and be healed. Come on. Let's just praise God for the next few minutes. Miracles are taking place in the name of Jesus, the healer. Oh, hallelujah.
God, our soul delighteth in thee. God, our soul delighteth in thee. Our soul delighteth in thee. Glory to God. Our soul delighteth in thee. Oh, Holy Spirit of God. Holy Spirit of God. Holy Spirit of God. Glory, 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 glory. God, our soul delighteth in thee. Our soul delighteth in thee, our soul delighteth in thee.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Let's just start saying the name of Jesus. You're in your own way. Come on, let's begin to say it. Whisper it, shout it, sing it, speak it in other tongues, whatever you want to do. Let's just say Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, every demon in hell's left this building. He can't stand that name. Hallelujah. Jesus, 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 Jesus. All I need, I found in Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Kabolo bushata la 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 kuta da da buhu kumuniki shika ba la la la.